The upcoming presentation is a two-man power trip of wrestling podcast production.
What's up, guys? It's the phenomenal AJ Styles. You're listening to the two-man power trip.
Hey, Johnny. Cool, man. What's going on? We ready to go or what?
Welcome to the Two Man Power Trip of Wrestling and the Latest Podcast. I'm your host, JP John Paz. With me today is the former WWE World Heavyweight Champion. He is the former head writer for the WWF, Mr. Vince Russo. Vince, how you doing today, sir?
I am doing all right. John, you got me curious now. What are those three hats on the door?
So the one hat is WrestleMania 15 that I was at. First row, Rock and Steve Austin literally fall on us. It was awesome. The second hat is WrestleMania 10. I was at that one as well. Awesome WrestleMania. Brett versus Owen. Brett wins the title from Yoko. And then the last one is the NWO hat, which is a great hat that I got in 1996 that I still have today. Love that hat.
Yeah, bro, it's funny because WrestleMania 15 was my last WrestleMania with the company. WrestleMania 10 was my first.
Wow.
Yeah, damn. There you go, bro. How about that?
I actually, which is crazy, I actually consider those real key WrestleManias. I feel like anything after WrestleMania 20, I don't know, it just hasn't been good. But anything WrestleMania 20 and prior, those are like WrestleMania to me. That's, you know, you really get amped up for those. You really get pumped. Yeah, no, could have been my age as well, but those are like the real WrestleManias to me.
I hear you. Yep.
WrestleMania 10 was damn good. I love WrestleMania 10. That was
that was the first WrestleMania I ever attended working for the company.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Yeah. What did you think just about like the way it was set up? The WrestleMania, the Super Bowl of wrestling. What did you think about it?
Oh, it was awesome, bro. A couple of things that always stand out to me is, there was a column in the New York Daily News called the Slammer.
Yes.
And it was Wenicky was his last name. I can't think of his first name, but Blackjack Brown used to feed him all the information. And wow, I remember, bro, that day the Slammer came out and they had the winners to the matches. So there was a scramble that day as to whether or not they were going to change finishes. So I do remember that vividly. And the second thing I remember vividly, bro, is one of the celebrities on the show was Jenny Garth.
Yeah.
Bro, she would not leave her dressing room. She would not talk to anybody. Literally, bro, she was locked in a dressing room all day. When it was her turn to do her thing, they walked her out. She did it, walked right back, and nobody ever saw her again. She did not want to be there, bro.
What was her problem?
I don't know, bro. She did not want to be there. And I also remember, I think Burt Reynolds was there. He was loving it. He was loving it, bro.
He's a big mark, I guess.
Reynolds. He was. He loved being around the athletes, bro. He was really, really cool.
Man, Jenny Garth, what the hell is?
Yeah, bro. She did not want to be there, bro.
Wow, what a shame. They had Cy Sterling or whatever.
Yeah, I remember him. He did the
Hair Club for Men.
He did the thing with Finkel, right?
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, I remember that. Yep.
The fake Bill Clinton guy.
Yeah.
So they had some like legit celebrities like Nicholas Satoru and stuff, and then they had some horrible celebrities.
Now, you know, like, I'm thinking, bro. Was it James Brown who sang America the Beautiful on that show?
Oh, I don't remember.
It might have been James Brown, bro.
Really? I don't remember him being there, which is odd.
I don't think it was Aretha. Aretha did an earlier one, bro.
Yeah, WrestleMania 3, yeah.
Yeah. I think it was Little Richard, bro. Little Richard.
Yes. Yeah, there was like some good like celebrities like Burt Reynolds mixed in there, but there was some bad ones like Bill Clinton was terrible.
A lot of those were Vince, bro. Like a lot of those were Vince. Bro, I remember Joe Walsh, Rocky Mountain Way.
Oh God, yeah.
Bro, it was the biggest song on the planet.
Yep.
Bro, the guy we had a big show coming up. It may have been WrestleMania. I don't remember. He wanted to perform the song free on either it was WrestleMania or one of the other big four, bro. Okay, for publicity.
Yep.
Vince X-nated it because he never heard of him.
Wow.
Yes. True story, bro. True story. Yep.
Wow. Damn.
Yeah.
Why though? That's so weird.
Yeah, he didn't know. He didn't know who he was.
Oh my God! How does he not know some of these people? How does he not know who he is,
bro? Bro, I did the thing too, bro. Like when I did GTV, bro. Tom Green on MTV was doing all that stuff before anybody was doing it, bro. Tom Green was before Jackass.
Yep.
Nobody was doing what Tom Green was doing on MTV. I wrote GTV for Tom Green.
Wow, I thought this was Goldust.
Yeah, okay. When I finally told Vince, he kiboshed it because he didn't know who Tom Green was.
Oh God.
Yeah. He didn't know, bro. I swear to God, I would be shocked if Vince watched 2 hours of TV a week. I would be shocked. Shocked.
He knows nothing about anybody.
Nothing. Wow. Bro, you know the whole story behind the Blair Witch Project, right?
No, I know the movie, but.
Oh, my God, bro. You remember the hype when Blair Witch Project was coming out? Remember all the hype? They didn't know if it was real or it was on the internet. Remember all that shit?
Yep.
So, bro, me and Ed get Stevie Richards, Blue Meanie. We go off in the woods and we show we shoot the Blonde Bitch Project. Sable was suing the WWE at the time. Okay. Yeah. So we go shoot the Blonde Bitch Project. Bro, had the camera up Meanie's nose with boogers. I mean, bro, it was phenomenal. It was phenomenal, right? So now we got to go back, me and Ed, and we got to show Vince. Because he's got to prove it, right? So what's this? Vince, there's a movie coming out, Blair Witch Project. Everybody's talking about it, bro. This is going to be huge. This is a parody of that movie. Vince's comments was, I never heard of it. Nobody's going to go see that movie. And he freaking killed it, bro. And the freaking movie set box office records that first weekend. He doesn't know stuff like that, bro. He doesn't know.
Is that frustrating for you guys? That he's just
it's very frustrating, but it's also like, how did we not know he wasn't going to get it? You know what I mean? How did we not know, you know? To this day, I don't think that stuff was ever shown. Yeah,
because it seems like there's got to be somebody there that's like, okay, pop culture. Because nowadays, like Bad Bunny, there's no way he knows who Bad Bunny is.
No.
There's no way he knows who Logan Paul is. No. Like, there's got to be like somebody telling, like, Vince, trust me. Like, you know what I mean?
It's probably the TV people, bro. It's probably the guys at TV were always hip.
Because it's funny. It's like LT, but LT's not in his prime when he's wrestling WrestleMania 11.
Right, exactly. You know what I
mean? It's like he's like it doesn't kind of catch up to where things. But it's funny. He was right on the cusp with Mike Tyson, so maybe
he was. I always that bro. That was 1,000,000,000% Vince. Absolutely, absolutely, yes. But he was a boxing mark. I mean, boxing he liked. So you know, like that doesn't surprise me at all the way he came up with that. But yeah, bro, that was 100% him.
To me, it's just so funny. Like, if you think about it, it's like he just seems so out of touch for a guy that's supposed to be always not be out of touch.
Bro, my advantage, bro, when I wrote the Attitude Era, my advantage was My kids were young, John. So I was watching what they were watching and what they were into. I mean, that's what I was doing. Vince was never, ever in tune, bro. Never.
Seems like always kind of either slow or behind the eight ball, or just doesn't care. Doesn't watch movies. Doesn't watch TV. Just seems like always, like even Scott Hall was saying in 92 when he debuts as Razor Ramon, he was doing the Al Pacino thing from right. Scarface. He said no clue, had no idea. Yep. And that he was asking Tito, like, hey, because he went to the bathroom, he sees Tito. Tito's hanging out at the office. He's like, hey, give me names. So Tito just gives him names and he uses it. Like, yeah. Use Ramon. He's like, oh, yeah, all right. So, but Vince had no idea. Like, if that no was idea, anybody right. else, they would have been like, yeah, I saw Scarface. What, you're going to be a ripoff of Scarface? Like, you know what I mean? He just didn't catch on.
Never, bro, never.
Man, somebody got to be like – not his eyes and ears, but somebody needs to be like his like consultant where they're like,
bro, the problem is the people surrounding him are the same way. You know, like, you know, bro, come on, we're talking about and even back then and now, bro, you're talking about the Pritchards, the Michael Hayes's, the Pat Patterson's, the Jim Cornette, the you know, I mean the Paul Heyman, like they're all the same way, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I guess so, right? I mean, they're kind of that old school mentality.
Yeah.
So as far as the wrestling business, I know we've talked about it before. You were building up to WrestleMania here for the WWE. You're not particularly fond of that. You're probably not going to watch. You have no interest. Is there anything that does interest you? Because it seems like you are a Bray Wyatt fan, it seems like, but now he's out, so... What are your, I guess nobody's kind of interesting and just Bray Wyatt really still interested.
Bro, you know what really interests me? I'll be honest. Well, first of all, of course, the business of the business will always interest me. Always, bro. It's so corny and it's, you know, what's going on with Dutch and Ric Flair. Like that stuff will always keep me interested, John. But what interests me is like, can you imagine what could be? Like, bro, we're hearing all this stuff with Bray Wyatt and like, we don't know what his future holds and everything else like this, yep. right? And yep. last night, bro, I'm watching Dexter Lumis. Can you imagine somebody knowing what they were doing and putting a Dexter Lumis Bray Wyatt angle together? Like, seriously, like, is that asking too much? I would literally, bro, I would never go work there again. But if I got a call tomorrow and they said, Vince, we want you to consult, write a story for Bray Wyatt and Dexter Lumis. Oh my God, bro. Like I would jump at that in a minute. That's the thing, bro. The possibilities are there. But it's just everything is just so straightforward. So, bro, I still am interested in the politics, what goes on behind the scenes, you know, the conflict. I'll always enjoy that. But there's possibilities, bro, but they're just not tapping into them, in my opinion.
When you look at Dexter Lumis, what do you like about him? I mean, just an interesting character, something different? You
bro, like first work? Of all, like I've DM'd with him a few times. So we've had dialogue, right? Bro, the guy's brilliant. He is absolutely brilliant, man. If you put him and Bray in a room with a producer that would be able to hone in a story and make it wrestling related and make some kind of sense. Oh my God, bro. Would I love to see that.
When you look at him though, do you see somebody that they're just totally not using to his potential or just not using at all?
Totally lost, bro. He's another wrestler on the card. And he shouldn't be, bro. He absolutely shouldn't be. Bro, Bray Wyatt versus Dexter Lumis should be a WrestleMania main event.
Wow, really?
Absolutely. Like and, bro, can I tell you something, too, John? Bro, you can do a three-month angle at least without them ever laying a finger on each other, bro. There's so much meat on that bone. That's the stuff that drives me nuts. Rather than do something like that, you're going to give me meaningless matches on TV where I know who's going over when that could be a part of the show. That's the part, man, where I'm like, come on, guys, like, try harder.
So you've liked Bray Wyatt so far, the way he's been used?
I don't watch SmackDown, bro. But from what I hear and from what I see, it's just kind of all over the place.
It just seems like, I don't know, with the stuff with him is Uncle Howdy. You like Uncle Howdy with the,
now,
the
bro? I'll be honest with you, bro. The first time I saw Uncle Howdy come out, my first thing was, bro, you're going to wrestle in that mask? Like it's so limited, bro. There's only so much you could do. That was the first thing that hit me. Like, bro, this may look good, but from a practical standpoint, where could you possibly go with this? You know?
Yeah. And to me, though, it just seems like, I don't know, I didn't like Bobby Lashley versus Wyatt is the WrestleMania.
That was forced for whatever reasons. You know, I mean, that's what I'm talking about, bro. You know, again, I love that I could disagree with you, John, because, you know, I respect the shit out of you. But that was another thing. When you talk about Triple H, bro, we're doing Bobby Lashley and Brock Lesnar, and then Brock does a heel thing at the pay-per-view, and then now Brock and Lashley separate?
That was weird. I didn't get that at all.
That's what I'm talking about. I'm like, now bro, I always give them the benefit of the doubt, John, and I always say, you know what, bro, maybe it was something political. Bro, for all we know, bro, maybe Lashley could have hurt Brock in the match, and Brock says, I ain't working with him again. We don't know. I always give him the benefit of the doubt. But here's what I say, bro. If you're not going to continue down that road, because whether Lashley doesn't want to work with whatever, you got to give us some kind of explanation, bro. You know what I'm saying? You've got to make some kind of sense out of it to the audience at home. Otherwise, we're like, wait a minute. We thought we were what? You know what I'm saying? You've got to explain it to us. Otherwise, we're like, wait a minute. Like, Lashley's going with Wyatt and Brock's going with almost. Okay, bro. Something happened that I don't know of, but you got to make sense out of it on TV, bro.
Yeah, I mean, I like the booking. It's a lot better than Vince, but it's not nowhere near perfect. Those are the two matches I didn't like. Lesnar almost out of nowhere, and then Wyatt versus Lashley, which I guess isn't happening now, but that happened. They threw that out there out of nowhere. So it's just like, how the hell does that make sense? Because the whole thing to me was leading to Lesnar versus Lashley at WrestleMania in a last man standing match, in a cage match, like some sort of gimmick match to have the blow off with these two monsters that had a DQ finish their last match.
Yeah. And like I said, bro, there's a lot of things we don't know, and that's cool, but you got to wrap it up on TV with something, bro.
Made no sense. I didn't like that at all. Yeah. And why it just challenged whoever was going to win the match. So they thought that was good enough, but that wasn't really good enough either as far as what the hell was going to happen with why. Why does he want to wrestle one of those two guys?
Right. Exactly. Exactly, bro. You know, Alexa Bliss disappears off the face of the planet. Like, why? You know, like, I know they're doing this thing now, bro, where talent gets time off, but you still got to explain it on TV. Yep. She can't be there for six straight months and then she's gone. It's just
and
stuff.
She even tweeted and says, I'm available. So it's not like she's injured or anything. Like she said, she's healthy.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
I just don't get some of the stuff that they do. It's just baffling. Like, why isn't she on TV? Like, I thought they were kind of teasing the Bray Wyatt thing where, like, I don't know, weird.
Yeah.
All right. So as far as current WWE, I think we're in a little bit of disagreement because I'm going to be watching Mania and you're not going to be watching Mania. But as far as SmackDown, you don't really watch it, so maybe you're missing out on maybe Triple H's best work. Maybe
I probably am, bro. Because listen, you're not the only one that tells me. I hear from a lot of people SmackDown is a good show, but bro, I swear I watch Raw because I get paid to watch Raw. I'm just even if it's a good show, I'm just not interested in watching it. I mean, that's really the bottom line.
I know, I'm kind of liking Cody versus Roman. Kind of liking it.
I'll tell you what show I will watch, bro. This show I will watch.
Okay? NXT.
No. If AEW does this reality show.
Oh, All Access. Yeah.
And Tony Khan is a part of this.
Yeah.
Bro, I will religiously watch that every week. That will be my favorite wrestling show. I will definitely watch that if Tony Khan is a part of it.
You missed Dynamite last week. He was on it.
Was he really?
On the show announcing a new title belt. But yeah, he was on the show.
Yeah. And anything Tony Khan, I'm interested in.
Why is that? You love Tony that much?
I am so intrigued by this guy, bro. Like, serious. And bro, here's the thing that bothers me, John. Like, oh, you hate Tony Khan. Bro, first of all, I don't know the guy. Second of all, a lot of people that I do know work with him and really like him, okay?
Yeah.
Bro, he is entertaining to me. The scrums are entertaining when he makes all these important announcements, when he does these interviews. The guy is entertaining to me. I do not hate Tony Khan one iota. I think he's a great source of material, bro.
I know a couple of guys that work there and previously worked at WWE. They told me he's like the nicest guy. He's the best boss. They love him.
All that. Absolutely.
But they said also the reason they like him, it's like total opposite of Vince. They said with Vince, kind of got that feeling in your stomach around him, like, oh, what's he going to say? What's he going to do? Like, he's unpredictable. He's kind of, you know, it could be an a-hole, I guess you could say. You need like Tony. You're like at ease. You know he's not going to do something or say something or fire you, or you know if you have a contract, he's going to let you play out your contract. Like, you know, I've heard a lot of positive stuff. Maybe it could be a little wacky. His personality might be a little wacky, but yeah. I've heard positive stuff where everybody like him. They like
but
him.
But also, bro, that may lead to what you said. That's great for the boys, but that may lead to the lack of respect of who the boss is. You know what I'm saying? I can't, bro. Listen, man, we saw the scrum with Punk where he was a deer in the headlights, bro. He had no clue what to do. So that may be great for the boys, bro, but sometimes there needs to be a boss that's going to drop the hammer, bro. Right. Especially in wrestling where these guys will run wild, bro.
And Vince is, you know, the king of dropping the hammer and firing guys. And on a whim, you walk backstage, oh, you wanted more money, you're fired. You know, he definitely dropped the hammer.
Yeah.
So maybe there's a fine line between
the respect of him and being friends. Somewhere in the middle, in the middle, you know. Like I saw an interview with him the other day, bro, talking about booking and talking about having to hit times and sometimes it goes long. Bro, it don't go long if when the wrestlers don't hit their times, there's a price you're going to pay. Like, bro, wrestlers know in the WWE, when Vince is at Gorilla and you don't hit your time, he is waiting there, bro. The glasses are down on his nose and you're going to get the fury of Vince McMahon. And I'm watching Tony and I'm like, bro, these guys have to understand if they don't hit the times, there are going to be ramifications. You can't let these guys go out there and go as long as they like. So it's stuff like that, bro, that I think, you know, is needed. You know, I mean, it's great that everybody loves them, but come on, let's face it, John, in that type of business, not everybody's going to love you.
They can't.
Yeah. They can't.
They can't. Right. He does seem like a pretty good boss, just as far as like being able to work with other companies. Because I know Vince was kind of against. I know he would work with New Japan early on, and a little bit with Tenryu and his Japanese promotion SWS for a little bit, and a little bit with AAA here and there. But it just seems like Vince was like against it. Khan is like, sure, I'll work with Impact, even though it's really giving Impact the rub. Sure, I'll work with New Japan and do that. So he just seems like he's much more of a relaxed guy. I mean, just seems like More personable, I guess, than Vince would be.
Yeah, yeah. Bro, Vince loves people fearing him. He gets off on that, bro, and he wants people to fear him. I mean, that's part of his persona.
It's a weird personality trait, isn't it? I mean, you want to intimidate Absolutely. People rather than work with them. And
yep.
A little bit of an ego there, to say the least.
Little bit, bro. Little bit.
With Tony, it's funny, like, that there's the All Access show, right? It's coming out. Then he announced that there's going to be, or hasn't announced yet, but it is going to be announced, but there's going to be another show that they're adding on. Saturday. It's either going to be Saturday morning or Saturday night at 6:05. So there's going to be another AEW. There's going to be four AEW shows going on.
It's too much, bro. It's such overkill, man. Such overkill.
Do you think that we need more wrestling?
No.
Crazy. No. If you actually look at it, and I actually had my buddy, we do the business of the business show, Lavi, he actually made a calendar and he put all the wrestling shows on for the month, counting pay-per-views. It was almost like every day of the week wrestling.
Yeah,
was on.
No,
like, holy
absolutely.
Shit.
Bro, you know what I equate that to, bro? I swear to God, John, you'll probably be able to relate to this. Bro, my first son was born in 1987. So I decided, bro, I was going to collect baseball cards for my son and give it to him when he got older. Baseball yep. cards were booming in 86, 87, right?
Oh, big
so
time.
All
yeah.
of a sudden, yeah, John, right? So, John, now everybody got into the baseball card game, bro. Now there was Donruss and Upper Deck and Fleer and Topps and Bowman. Now all of a sudden there were all these cards. So now – You go to the baseball card store. Now you don't know what to buy because there's so much of it. So what do, bro? You wind up not buying any of it. I mean, that's what happened to me. And I think that's the danger too with so much wrestling to follow, bro. Because after a while, if there's so much, you're just not going to be able to follow it all, bro.
It's too much. Oh my God. I think there was when we did the calendar, it was 2 days where there wasn't wrestling on. It was two Saturdays.
Yeah.
And it wasn't a pay-per-view or something on. But then if you look at Sundays, A&E has wrestling all night. They have the A&E biography series. Then they have the Rivals. And then they're coming out with, again, I mean, it's like another season of it, the merchandise show where they go yeah. around, they collect the merchandise, the lost treasures.
Yeah.
So it's like, holy crap, there's so much wrestling. It's insane. Then NXT is on, then Raw, then SmackDown. MLW has two shows on that are on Reels.
Yeah.
Impact has a show. New Japan has a show.
It's a lot, bro. It's a lot.
And it's not like wrestling is, you know, just the Attitude Era somewhere. Everybody's clamoring for more wrestling. It's not really, only SmackDown is the one that really draws.
Yeah. Yep.
And then obviously AEW has Dynamite. They have Rampage. Then they have the All Access show. And then they have supposedly the Saturday show. So
it's a lot, man.
I don't know. I just feel like it might be too much. And I know me, I have to pick and choose. Like, I obviously, you know, it's like, okay, watch a Dynamite. Maybe some Raw, SmackDown. That's probably going to be it. I try to catch Rampage, but it's just too much wrestling. It's too much to watch.
You know, it happens to me because I follow a lot of baseball because I play fantasy baseball. But, John, I hit the point like every couple of weeks or so where I get baseballed out. Like with baseball, I get baseball out and it's like, bro, I just need to shut it down for a couple of days. Like, I mean, I go through that with baseball. So, yeah, bro, the more there is, it's not special anymore, bro.
To me, with baseball, I can't keep up. I was telling you, I was like, for some reason, I can't do it. Like, I'll get destroyed in fantasy. I just can't keep up with it and pick up players and oh, this person's having a good week. Let's pick them up out of nowhere. Or like, oh, this Ortega guy might be the starting left fielder for the Yankees. It's like, oh, I didn't get him because somebody else was waiting at the waiver wire. Yeah,
John, the waiver wire opens up every night at 12 o'clock Pacific.
Oh.
So I literally, bro, I am not shitting you. I've got to be sitting right here at 1 o'clock in the morning every single day. So think about it, bro. You're in New York and you're playing fantasy. It's 3 o'clock, bro.
Yeah.
So if you want so-and-so, you got to be on that computer beating Vince Russo at 3 o'clock in the morning, bro. It's brutal. It's brutal.
Do you do priority? Like if you had, let's say you got the first pick in the waiver wire, then the next week you get last, or it just depends on seeding and then it continues?
No, it works that way, bro. And also too, you get a free agent, you get a free agent budget. So if a player drops a good player and everybody wants that player, you have to bid on that player and the highest bid will get it.
Wow. So some guys won't be able to afford them because they have other high priced players in the team. Ah, you really got to manage the team.
Oh my
then.
Bro, you literally have to manage your team like you're sitting in the dugout. No shit, bro.
Oh my God. Wow. So no Joe Torre taking a nap in there. I mean, no, you really gotta pay attention.
No, bro, absolutely not. No.
Wow, that's kind of intense. I remember I played fantasy baseball guide years ago and a couple of buddies of mine were like, you know, all over the waiver wire. They're making 100 picks. They're dropping guys. And I couldn't do that. And all of a sudden, yeah, like you see me falling and see them climbing.
That's it.
As the year went on. Yeah. They started dominating. Yeah. I got a buddy of mine. He's obsessed. Yeah. Tells me, bro, all these guys
by the end of the season, bro, seriously, like I can't wait for it to end. I mean, I can't wait by the time we get to the end of the season.
Yeah, 6-7 months long. It's an exhaustive process. And then the playoffs, forget about it.
Yeah, well, our season is over when the season's over.
What?
How many kids you got?
Two.
Girls?
Boy and a girl.
How old are they?
My son is 7 and my daughter is 5.
Are you done?
Yes. Oh, yeah. I'm 40. I'm done. There's no way.
Oh, yeah. Wow, it didn't take time. You didn't even think that one over, bro.
No, definitely done. No more kids.
7 and 5. So the boy's the oldest?
Yes.
Oh wow, that's awesome, bro. Good for you. So the your daughter's in kindergarten.
Yep.
Oh, that's awesome, man. That is awesome.
Yeah, it's going good. They actually like school, which is shocking because I hated school when I was a kid. So yeah. Kind of surprising.
Yeah, that's awesome, man.
I'll talk to you just off air about the baseball fantasy.
Okay.
I had a question because my buddy, who's obsessed with fantasy baseball, asked me a question, but I'll ask you about it off air.
Okay.
So getting back into it, we'll talk about Ground Zero, the WWF pay-per-view from 1997. Of course, it was September 7th, 1997, from Louisville, Kentucky at the Louisville Gardens venue. The attendance was only 4,963, so under 5,000, very small. And the pay-per-view buy rate was 136K. The tagline is, "That's the bottom line." So not a good attendance. And not a good buy rate at all.
Oh, I got to ask you a question. Is the next WrestleMania Shawn Austin? God, yes. Bro, I swear to God, John, when you tell me those pay-per-view buys, it blows my mind, bro, because I remember Vince telling me in confidence going into, I guess that was what, WrestleMania 15?
14.
14, he said, "Vince, we need to do 1 million buys." And when I'm looking at where we are in September and he wants to do 1 million buys in March, blows my mind, bro. Because if I would have realized that, I would have told him he was out of his mind. John, I swear, when I was working for them, I didn't know what the pay-per-view buys were. Like I never like that, you know, that really had no effect on me. I mean, I had to, you know, write the television shows from week to week to week to week. So I never really knew what the pay-per-view buys were. I just remember that he said at WrestleMania, we had to do 1 million buys.
Wow. That was wishful thinking. I mean, you guys do 750,000 for WrestleMania 14, so or around that number. So, I mean, it was a really good pay-per-view buy. Was he happy at least with that?
Bro, if he had his sights set on 1 million, he was not happy with 750.
Wow. But, man, from here, I know this is a small pay-per-view here, but 136, then you can jump up to 750. It's a
huge. That's crazy, bro. That is crazy. That is crazy.
And obviously the tagline is, "That's the bottom line." Steve Austin won't be in it because we talked about last month or a few weeks ago, whatever it was, that Austin got injured from Owen Hart with the broken neck. So I guess the pay-per-view, I mean, you just got to go with it. It's been called that for a while. That was the tagline.
Oh yeah, bro. That a lot of people don't understand that, bro. When, you know, their creative services, they're doing all the art and everything 3 months prior. So yeah, bro, that's that art and the promotion, it's been done 3 months ago.
WWE obviously was like the master of marketing stuff. Their creative services department, like the guy, I mean, that's got to be the biggest you've ever seen, right? As far as where you
worked. Bro, they worked right next to me, but they were next to publications. So I was very tight with a lot of those people. They were tremendous, bro. They were great. They were great.
Any names we would recognize from creative services?
Not really, bro. Not really. But they were, bro, it's funny because right next to my office was the woman who, you know, if Pritchard had the idea for a new character, he would go to this woman and now she would draw it up. So I would always sneak in her office, bro, when she wasn't there to see what characters were coming up, right? She never knew it.
Yep.
And bro, I'll never forget, man, the day I went in there and the character What was on her desk. They were going to do Who and What, bro. And I was
Jesus Christ.
Exactly, bro. I was like, well, bro, who's not enough? You're really going to do what? Oh, my God, bro.
That was terrible. And the little jokes terrible. That go with it were terrible. Everything about it was terrible, yeah.
Bro, I still never fully got this. But, you know, I know you're a Hogan guy, big.
Yep.
Bro, this was supposed to be like some kind of a poke fun at Hogan. Did you know that? What?
No. Nope.
Yeah, but I never really like understood why, but this was supposed to be some kind of a dig at Hogan.
Wow. I had never heard that, and I don't even understand how it could be or what it could be.
I don't
be.
Either, bro, but I know that's what it was, but some kind of an inside joke they had, I guess.
I love that Vince is like at this point, like anti Hogan. He's the only reason even like we're surviving or had your money. He literally put you on the map.
Yeah. You know, bro, that's funny, bro, because Vince was personally hurt that Hogan left. But at the time, bro, I remember because I was there. Vince wanted Hogan to be the Babe Ruth of the WWE. Hogan felt like he had more in the tank. So why would you be upset with that? That's why Hogan went to WCW. He still wanted to wrestle. He still had a lot more. Vince thought he was way past his prime of wrestling. So when the guy leaves, why are you going to take that personally, you know?
Weird. And then 10 years later, 2002, he's main eventing WrestleMania against The Rock and had the best match of the night. So
yeah.
Vince was dead wrong.
Yeah.
So here for Ground Zero, obviously the whole point or the whole buildup is Michaels and Undertaker because of what happened at SummerSlam. So we kind of move off Bret and Michaels and Bret and Undertaker for here. And now Undertaker and Michaels have a problem because, hell, Michaels hit him over the head with a chair by accident. Regardless, however you want to say that, he still hit him in the head with the chair. So kind of leads you to the next feud. So it's really building up between these two, between Michaels and Undertaker, who really hadn't had a match or feuded before this, even though they were both in the WWF for, you know, many, many years prior to this together.
Yeah, bro. The one thing I loved about this, bro, this is what I loved about Shawn, man. I remember promos between these two where Shawn would like stand right up to him. You know, it wasn't that chicken shit heel bullshit. It was like somewhere in the back of his mind, Shawn really thought he could take Taker. And that was one thing I loved about Shawn, bro. And, you know, like I said, man, I don't want to take credit for it, but I am anti chicken shit heel because, John, my philosophy is this. If you are a chicken shit heel and you're running away from everybody, why are you in the wrestling business? I mean, why you choose the wrong profession, obviously. So, you know, I always used to make it where Shawn would go toe to toe with Taker, like promo wise. And man, I thought that was some really good stuff, bro.
The funny thing is, it's like, okay, the chair shot, Michaels is a babyface. That was by accident. But leading into this show, he then hits him again on a Raw twice in the head on purpose. So it's like, okay, Michaels, and you could tell the crowd, which has always kind of been the case with Michaels, they're always kind of 50-50, like that John Cena thing we had talked about previously. Like, the crowd's 50-50. Like, there's some fans that don't like him, and, you know, they started getting more vocal. They really don't like him here, yeah. But he's doing it on purpose. He basically is strongly turning heel here.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep.
You like Michaels as a heel better than a face? Just seemed like it fit him more in this era that he'd be a natural asshole.
Yeah, he was that way, bro. Yeah. And listen, it was a different time for Sean because he was, you know, that's not the Sean you got today. So it was a very rough period for him. But yeah, bro, backstage he was a dick.
The other feud that's going on here is Bret Hart versus the Patriot for the WWF World Title. Kind of is like the secondary feud. Do you like the World Title being secondary?
Bro, in this case, like, Patriot's just not marquee. It shouldn't be, John. I mean, what you're saying is absolutely right. It shouldn't be. But, my bro, you're not going to make Bret and the Patriots stronger than Shawn and Taker. You're just not, bro.
Leading up to SummerSlam, obviously Bret wins the title. Michaels had distracted Bret on a row. It was a week before the SummerSlam pay-per-view, and Patriot got a fluke victory over Bret, so he got a win. So that kind of enables him now, you know, a month later or whatever, but still it enables him to get a title shot because he pinned Bret. He pinned the champ. He kind of is leading himself into a title shot. So it does make sense of him getting a title shot, but you're right. It doesn't feel like it's the headliner.
Yeah, yeah. And, bro, I, Del Wilkes was such a cool dude. Like, Bret probably had no problem doing that whatsoever because he was a really good guy, bro.
Loved Del. Always liked him. Years ago, we helped executive produce his documentary that came out. It was a 3-disc set by my buddy Michael Elliott at Elbow Brush.
Awesome. Like,
really, really good stuff. And, you know, he went into his football career, his drug use, his jail time. I mean, really went in depth in his career. I mean, his stuff in Japan was just awesome.
Yeah.
But it
yeah.
caused so many injuries. So, then yeah. the drug use, then he spent some time in jail. So quite an interesting life yeah. for Del Wilkes, the Patriot here. And, you know, main event feud against Bret, but, you know, kind of the secondary main event, yeah. kind of yeah. just behind the main event. With this, though, where are you here? I know we've talked about, like, are you getting more power back?
Oh, yeah, no, bro. With every pay-per-view, I'm getting more and more and more involved. And, bro, part of my power, too, like, a lot of it came, bro, I'm very, very bad with timelines, okay? But a lot of it came, bro, when J.J. Dillon was talent relations, okay, at some point. At yep. some point, J.J. went to WCW, okay? Bruce wanted that job. Bruce wanted that job and got that job. And that's when I really slipped into the full-time Bruce, not even a part of it, you know, creative. Bro, something happened there. I don't know what happened, bro, but Bruce did not last in that position long. And that's when, you know, JR took over. Yeah. I don't know what happened, but I know Bruce really, really wanted the job, got the job, but all of a sudden, bro, it ended quickly. I was now in his spot, and now Bruce started, like, politicking behind my back to get his spot back, and that's when, like, I really started seeing the wrestling business for what it was.
Politics and backstabbing, yep.
Yeah, yeah.
So Pillman and Goldust is going to be the first match on the card. It was interesting because we talked about this. SummerSlam, Pillman loses to Goldust there. He's forced to wear a dress. Here, though, he was going to take the match. Should he lose, Marlena becomes his personal assistant. And that's what we were talking about, how they were in bed together and all this other yeah. stuff. But they actually were dating in the early 90s before Goldust and Marlena got together in real life, Dustin and Terry. So it's just interesting. Like, real life was weaving into the feud, whether you realized it or not.
I did not know, yeah. bro. I swear to God, I did not know. And I really think she thinks I was working her. Right. I did not know, bro. I really didn't know.
Do you like the dress thing and then turning into the personal assistant thing? It gives them a storyline, gives them something to do, but do you like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, bro. Just keep it going, man. Just keep it going, man. If you can keep it going creatively, keep it going.
They would call this first match an indecent proposal match, because if Goldust wins, Pillman has to leave the WWF. But obviously, if Pillman wins, Marlena becomes his assistant and maybe more, like we were kind of alluding to and teasing. So just a little bit of a twist, if you will.
And two great characters, bro. Not to mention Terry. I mean, but again, this is what I mean, bro, about the great character matchup. I love stuff like this, bro.
So Brian Pillman will defeat Goldust with Marlena by pinfall in 11 minutes. Thus, she becomes his servant, if you will. She becomes part of his entourage. Just interesting little thing for Pillman. And of course, he took to it and it was great. But unfortunately, he dies basically a month later. I mean, just... Yeah. Insane what happens here, because it seemed like he was finally getting his footing because he was injured, though. But it seemed like maybe this was going to kind of get him rolling because he was so hot when you guys brought him in.
And that's what I'm saying, John. It was right around this time when I witnessed firsthand the real pain he was in. So, bro, like, I don't even to this day, John, I don't know what the cause of death was. I don't know if it was an overdose, but I do know, bro, the guy was in a tremendous amount of pain.
Yeah. Just what a shame, because he was somewhat like on fire. Like when you guys brought him in, like WCW fired him. Yeah, everyone thought it was real. Then it was real. Yeah. ECW had him. He was going to piss in the ring. I mean, just that was he was on fire, kind of, so to speak. The loose cannon was on fire.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely.
It hadn't been for that car crash, maybe him versus Austin, maybe that's like the big feud, you know?
That could have been great, man. Yep.
And he was actually scheduled to face Dude Love at the pay-per-view after this, which is Bad Blood. And obviously, you know, we know what happened there. It was actually heart disease. They're saying it was a heart attack from heart disease is how he died. But
yeah,
man, just crazy, just terrible, terrible for Flying Brian Pillman, loose cannon.
Yeah.
But he gets the win here, and they kind of continue on with him, Goldust, and Marlena, that triangle of terror. Then the next matchup, Brian Christopher defeats Scott Putski by countout in 5 minutes. I know you're not a big fan of the lightweights, heavyweights.
I go back and I review Raw now, and I got to say this, though, bro. And I say it every time. I'm not a fan of the light heavyweights. I'm just not. But Brian Christopher was great. I mean, he was great. What a great heel. I mean, my God, did he learn so much from his dad? Every time I see Brian, he was so freaking good, man.
Was that a rib, not calling him Brian Lawler? I know Brian Christopher was his name, but like not pretending, like pretend he's not Lawler's son. Was that a rib, or why do they do that? Pretend that,
you know, bro, I don't know, man, because as I'm watching these attitude eras and you know, now it's constant between him and Lawler. I mean, it's a constant thing. So I really don't know the origins of that, John. I really, really don't, but it's a constant back and forth with those two.
So the next up is a triple threat match. Savio Vega of Los Pericos, Farouk of the Nation of Domination, and Crush of the DOA. Savio gets the win in 11 minutes, 30 seconds, pinning Crush. I know you don't like this one.
I don't like this one at all. At all.
The faction warfare.
How did Ron Simmons not go over that?
So there's some distraction by the outside.
Is it Rock? Does Rock cause it?
No. They're all... All the guys are at ringside, but Farouk gets nailed by Crush, and you think Crush is going to, you know, basically get the win. Then there's a distraction. Then Savio kicks Crush while kind of Farouk is getting his bearings. Savio gets the quick pin on Crush when he kind of wasn't paying attention. So it's kind of how it happens. It's almost like they made Farouk seem like he was out of it. He was on his way back up, and then Crush gets beat.
Yeah, bro, sometimes they'll look at something like that, like, you know, rewarding somebody for a good job. And, bro, I say this all the time, bro, and I know Austin would say the same exact thing. Savio was such a big part in getting Austin over. Such a huge, huge part. So this, you know, a win like this is telling a guy that you appreciate all his hard work.
Oh, well, okay.
Yeah, yeah. The whole, bro.
Oh, Nation.
No, the Farouk blue helmet and Sonny, and oh my God, bro, please.
That was weird because, you know, you get Ron Simmons in, right? He's a former WCW champion. He's a great athlete. You know, he almost, you know, was up there for the Heisman Trophy for Florida State. I mean, just great athlete, great wrestler. Everybody knows who he is. And it's like, you're Farooq Asad. You're a gladiator.
Oh, my God. Yeah, horrible.
From whenever, you know, centuries horrible. Before.
God, I remember, bro, when some of that cringe stuff would be told to me. And I would just be like, bro, like, do you not know how freaking awful that is? Oh, God, bro.
And I don't know. I didn't really like the Barriquas at DOA. And I didn't. I mean, the Nation was good, but I didn't like those.
I didn't either, bro. I love the Harris boys. I still talk to them to this day. Oh, but really? I was just, yeah, bro. Me and Ronnie. But I'm just not a fan of that, bro.
Just, I don't know, just didn't work. The next match, I guarantee you don't like either. I'm willing to bet money on it. Max Mini defeats El Torito by pinfall in 9 minutes and 20 seconds. Wow, they wasted a ton of time on a midgets match. That's on a pay-per-view when nuts. WCW is killing them.
That's nuts, bro. And you know, again, bro, that's a deal they have with whatever company.
AAA, so
they got to put this match on. Like, but yeah, bro, that's horrible.
Awful, awful. Don't even know what to say. It was just so bad. But we'll just go to the next match. The Headbangers, Mosh and Thrash, defeat the Godwins, Henry O and Phineas, the Legion of Doom, Road Warrior, Hawk, Road Warrior Animal, and Owen and the Bulldog by pinfall in a tag team four-way elimination match for the vacant WWF Tag Team Championships, which, of course, is vacated because of Austin's injury, who was tag team champs with Dude Love. The match goes 17 minutes, 20 seconds here. Kind of a cluster, kind of a lot of guys here. You know, Austin had to forfeit the titles. What do you think here?
Who goes over
the Headbangers win the titles?
This is horrible. It's horrible.
Not a fan of the Headbangers.
Huh?
Not a fan of the Headbangers.
No. Bro, they were great dudes, but it's like, you know, and again, bro, like, you know, Owen and Bulldog were really singles wrestlers, but the other three teams, so it was Headbangers, Godwins, and who else?
LOD and
LOD was in there.
Bulldog.
And I could tell there's no story here. They had to switch the belts because of what happened to Austin. So they kind of just threw this match on there.
The best part about this match is right before the match, Slaughter says, you know, he's got the WWF commissioner, brings out Austin. Jim Ross is with him, brings out Dude Love and says, you guys have to forfeit the titles. Austin can't wrestle. So Dude Love, you know, respectfully hands over the title. Okay, you know, no problem. Austin goes, hey, you want it? Throws at Slaughter's feet. And he goes, man, I wish I could wrestle. And Jim Ross is like, yeah, I wish you could wrestle too. And Austin's like, oh, yeah? Stunner on Jim Ross. That's the best part of the whole match.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
And then Ross doesn't come back to the announce table for the rest of the night. So, you know, selling that he got injured from Austin. Yeah. Stunner. Yeah. That was great. It was almost like Austin almost was better that he couldn't wrestle because he'd stunner everybody. Yeah. He'd beat him up. He'd talk trash. They do the interview from the hotel, like, all the cool stuff with Austin, but he couldn't wrestle. So he's just beating people up.
Yep. Yep.
You think that helped him get over?
Bro, to me absolutely. Bro, to me that's the fun part of creative. Like when they're not wrestling and you're really challenged to come up with something creatively every single week. I love that stuff, bro. I thrive on that stuff.
Owen takes the pin by Mosh here. Do you think that's any sort of penalty or any sort of punishment for injuring the Golden Goose?
It sounds very much like it could be, John, which is absolutely freaking ridiculous. But yes, very much so.
You know, there's a lot of nut jobs online that think that that Vince didn't mind that Owen passed away. Literally, I've been reading stuff with these nut jobs because he injured Austin. They're like, he injured the Golden Goose. I was like, I don't think Vince would. Yeah, I don't think Vince cares about that.
What? Yeah. That's
literally, they're nuts, these people. And you were talking about not talking to them.
They're nuts, bro. That's sick. That's sick.
Crazy, crazy people out there. But it definitely seems like Owen was getting a bit of a punishment taking the pin in this match. Could have been anybody else. The Godwins could have been anybody else. He takes the loss.
You are right, 100%, bro.
It's funny when they do Raw a few weeks later from MSG, have that big Raw, Cactus Jack versus Triple H, awesome match. They have a great match. Austin stuns McMahon, and then like everyone always says, like, that's the attitude era. Him stunning Vince, like, everyone always says that.
Yeah, no, I remember that, bro, because it was a big deal. It was a big deal.
I think it might have been even a bigger deal. Todd Pettengill left around this time. There goes the new generation. And you know what I mean? Your buddy Todd Pettengill left.
Yeah.
Enter in the attitude.
I did not. Me and Todd Pettengill did not play together well.
Whoa, why not?
Because, bro, I always felt like, bro, listen, he was a DJ at WPLJ at the time, and WPLJ was a big deal in New York. 95.5, bro, I still remember. And I always felt like he just felt the wrestling was so beneath him, and it really, really used to piss me off. And like I said, bro, he was a huge deal at the time. He didn't need it, but I really felt he used to treat it that way, and that used to bother me.
Interesting. So as far as the rest of the card here, Bret Hart is up next. He defends the WWF World Heavyweight Championship against the Patriot, and he wins via submission in about 19 minutes and 20 seconds here. Bret obviously should go over, right? I mean, you're not having Patriot win the title, right?
No,
long match, you think? 20 minutes is long?
I think so. No, with Patriot?
It was good. Bret, very good. And
was
Patriot,
this? Go ahead. I'm sorry, John. Go ahead.
Patriot's very good, probably predictably so. Maybe they could have made it shorter because you knew Bret was going to win. But yeah. Bret is awesome. You put him in there against anybody, 1-2-3 kid, Virgil, all these guys, even though, I mean, they're good in their own right, but Bret against them, he just makes them look like they have a chance, and then he pulls the rug out, and then he wins. So, really good match.
Was this the end of the feud?
Pretty much, but they do have a match at the next pay-per-view. It's Bret and Bulldog against Vader. And Patriot. So they do continue on, but it's kind of the end of the one-on-one, getting world title shots part of it.
Got you.
Because Bulldog's out in this match. Vader comes out in this match, which is going to lead to the pay-per-view next month. But, you know, and obviously, you know, the Bret grabs the flag. I mean, they tease a lot of stuff, but it's leading to the end of Patriot Bret one-on-one and entering Vader into the feud, which is kind of interesting because it doesn't really go anywhere with Vader. Vader then fights Kane next, and Kane kind of wipes the floor with him, and then Bret obviously fights Michaels next, and we head to the screw job. So it's interesting. This is kind of the end of the one-on-one title shots for the Patriot.
Got you.
So then we have the final match, the main event of the evening, Shawn Michaels versus The Undertaker. Goes 16 minutes, 20 seconds, actually ends in a no contest. Do you like that? It was a good match, really good, but there's no winner here. So do you like that you're ending the pay-per-view, you're ending the show on a no contest?
What's the finish?
So basically what happens is Triple H is out there. China is out there. Michaels basically with Rick Rude as well. So it's kind of the formation of DX. It's kind of a lot of, I guess you could say, just a lot of cheating involved. Basically, the ref gets knocked down. There's going to be a chair involved. It's just like a whole schmoz. It's like basically the formation of DX. They're going to interfere. They're going to do this. There's a chair involved. The referee gets knocked down. Like, it's just a huge schmoz. It just doesn't seem like an end of the show. It feels like an end of a Raw, not an end of a pay-per-view kind of end.
Where does the no contest come from?
So they knock out the one referee, then they knock out the second referee, and then I guess they feel like there's just too much interference. Undertaker then literally grabs a referee and choke slams the referee. So it's like you have no refs to even have the match. They beat up the two referees. Like they kind of had no way to have a finish, basically. Very interesting. It's almost too much.
Yeah.
It was a cluster.
Like I said, I probably haven't seen that match since it took place.
Like officials will come down and the officials get beat up. It's like there's no order.
Yeah. No, it does seem like a schmaz. Yeah, it does. Yeah, I don't like that finish for the end of the show.
Nobody could separate them. Then the refs get all beat up, and then the wrestlers kind of come down and try to separate them, and you're kind of leaving Undertaker alone in the ring as Triple H, Michaels, and China all go for the exit. They all kind of run away with Ricky Rude and the new DX with Undertaker in the ring. But it just seemed like, I don't know, that seemed like a Raw ending to me there's no finish.
I'm with you, bro. It seems that way to me. It almost seems to me like this was like, oh, God, I just hate to say it, but almost like a throwaway pay-per-view, man.
It literally, that's exactly what I was thinking, like a lead-in to something. But that's like a TV lead-in.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm not going to argue with you. That's what it feels like.
And the match was good. It was just like you felt like, wow, I paid for that? And you get the schmoz of the all, and they all beat up all the refs. It was like, it doesn't make sense. I know what they were going for was leading to bad blood, that now they're going to be in Hell in a Cell. There has to be a winner. And obviously Kane's debut as well, but there's going to have to be a winner between these two.
Yeah.
They're not going to be able to just destroy the ref and, you know, Triple H and China and Rick Rude won't be able to interfere, but to do it on a pay-per-view and to lead it up like that, I didn't care for that.
Yeah. I hear you, John. I think if I watched that, I would have the same sentiment.
So really, to lead to bad blood, they have the Hell in a Cell Undertaker versus Michaels, and then they have a flag match, Bulldog and Bret versus Vader and the Patriots. So that's kind of where we're headed, bad blood. You kind of don't know what you're going to get with Hell in a Cell because we hadn't seen it before.
Yeah.
What we do get is an awesome, unbelievable match with a pretty cool concept. The flag match, again, seems like the WWF world title with Bret Hart is secondary. It doesn't seem like the main focus.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that to do with the Austin injury, you think?
I'm trying to think of where Austin would have went. I would have to think, John, it does have something to do with it, because somehow, some way, Austin would have had to be on top, whether it was with Bret. I mean, I don't know, but I would have to think it would have had some bearing on the overall picture.
It just seems like Michaels was getting the main event, not being the champion, getting the big push up forward, and Bret was the world champion. It just seemed like he was secondary with these secondary feuds. I mean, he was doing his best and having good matches with guys like the Patriot, but it just didn't seem like a main event worthy.
Bro, had Bret already signed the long-term contract?
Not here, nope.
With
WWF, you mean? Yes.
So he has signed that. Well, yes. Then, bro, it leads me to believe, were they kind of seeing the writing on the wall that they weren't going to be able to pay him and he wasn't going to be around for the long haul, and they're kind of trying to work him back down the card? That's what it very possibly could be, bro.
Seems like it, for sure.
How long after this before Bret jumped?
Exactly 2 months.
Oh, yeah, bro. I got to tell you, that's Vince probably knows at this point he's not going to be able to afford Bret.
It's funny. It's like, let's put him in with the Patriot. Like, yeah, you know, in the mid-card. Like, yeah, upper
I'm telling
mid-card,
you, but, yeah. I'm telling you, bro. Two months, that's what it probably was.
So overall thoughts on the show, it just doesn't seem like especially some, like a SummerSlam five. Wasn't great that we were talking about, but it was better than this, I feel like.
Yeah, no, this seems like a five, bro. Like, seriously, I was involved in it, but it seems like a five.
Definite, like, Raw. If this was Raw, it'd be okay. Pay-per-view, no.
Yeah, but, you know, bro, that's the thing. It's like there's always something going on. You know what I'm saying, bro? So you probably got, and that goes for today too, bro, not just back then. You probably got something really, really cool and thought out, you know, really, really well. Then look what you got here. We're not going to be able to afford Bret. Austin's hurt. Bro, now you're on plan C and plan D. Like, this happens all the time. Bro, we were just talking about it with Lashley and Lesnar. Something happened there, bro. We don't know what it was, but something happened to make them go to a game plan that was a lot worse. That happens all the time in wrestling, man.
Yep. Had to change it up, if you will.
Yeah. Yep.
All right. So let's hit the plugs. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Two Man Power Trip. Check out the website, tnptempire.com. Vince, what do you got?
Yes, guys, russosbrand.com, and right there, patreon.com/RussoTWC. Dozens of shows, bro, different people on the shows. Check it out. You will be thoroughly entertained.
All right. Thank you, everybody, for listening. See you right back here next time for the podcast. See you then, folks. This has been a John Paz Power Trip production in conjunction with the Two Man Power Trip of Wrestling. You could follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Two Man Power Trip. You could check us out on Facebook. You could subscribe on YouTube. You can go to patreon.com/TMPTEmpire to become a patron. And also check out the website, TMPTEmpire.com. And buy a shirt at ProWrestlingTees.com. Two Man Power Trip, where the power lies. Brother.